Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here, gather together, worship together as the children of God in just this one small corner of the kingdom. It was a blessing to hear from Bible school students of how you all were blessed this week. That can be a reward. I trust that can be a reward to the congregation for putting so much effort into making Bible school happen, to hear those testimonies. Let's, if you would again, stand for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts, Lord. We thank you and praise you for your greatness, your awesome glory, and your love towards us, your children. And we stand here this morning amazed at all you have done for us and the provision of salvation for us, that we can be saved from our sins, as the young people were sharing about what touched them this week. Lord, the seriousness of sin and the importance that we grab a hold of eternal life and turn our hearts towards you. Lord, that's what we want to do this morning. We want to open our hearts to you, look into your word, and see what you have for us this morning. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week is Thanksgiving week. Thursday is Thanksgiving Day. And so I was thinking some about Thanksgiving and what all goes along with that. And of course, we can think about the holiday and all the typical things that go with it. Turkey, pumpkin pie, filling, stuffing, whatever you want to call it. But Thanksgiving, I hope we all understand, is so much more than what we do around Thanksgiving Day. In fact, maybe Thanksgiving Day has become more of a day of greed as Black Friday continues to be made earlier and earlier into Thanksgiving Day, and it seems that that has a far more impact than taking a day for gratitude. So as I was thinking about Thanksgiving, my mind went to Philippians chapter 4. You may turn there. Philippians chapter 4. And as I studied and thought about what to share, it turned out that I began thinking more about an opposite of Thanksgiving, and that is anxiety, being anxious, being worried, being nervous. And so my title is Thanksgiving or Anxiety. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to try to simply study and share from this passage briefly and try to wrap it up just a little bit earlier than maybe I normally would, so that we have time for you all to share in Thanksgiving. So sound folks, if you could be prepared with the mic after a bit here, that would be good. I'd be glad to hear, well, put it this way, neuroscientists today have pretty much shown that we have the ability to shape our brains, to change our mind and the way we think. Now, as Christians, I hope we've all known that before scientists realized it, because the Bible talks about that. The Bible talks about the renewing of our mind. But thinking about anxiety and anxiousness and the antidote for that being Thanksgiving, I would be glad to hear some examples, if you would have them, of how you would suggest or how you would advise small ways that we can shape our thinking and renew our mind in thanksgiving. Of course, I'd also be glad just to hear little things that you're thankful for. There's many verses throughout Scripture about thanksgiving, and if I'm not planning to go to many at all, if any. And so, if you want to bring some of those up, if one of those comes to your mind, you're welcome to do that as well. So, Philippians chapter 4, starting reading in verse 4, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Be careful for nothing. And that word careful there in the Greek has more the idea of anxiousness, being anxious, being worried, being troubled about the future or life or the present or whatever we find ourselves in, being being worried. And so as I use the word anxiety this morning, I'm not thinking of it strictly in the clinical sense that sometimes it is talked about in, but certainly that is included. But I'm thinking more broadly, anxiety, stress, worry. These things, it's detrimental. It's detrimental to us as humans, to our physical well-being. It's detrimental emotionally. And for us as Christians, it's especially detrimental to our spiritual life. And so, Paul tells us here to not be stressed out, not to be worried, not to be overly anxious. And so the question comes, well, why do we get anxious? Why do we get stressed out? Why do we get worried? I wrote a few down here, and I'm sure there's a lot more. Pressure. Pressure to achieve or perform. An overloaded schedule or overcommitments. We made more promises than we're able to keep. Uncertainty in life. Uncertainty of future. Uncertainty of safety. Threatening situations or danger. Relationships, disagreement, or misunderstanding. Life-changing events, things that happen that turns life a totally different direction, can be a cause for anxiety. Financial reverses, and the list could go on and on and on. And in short, if we could sum all everything that would cause anxiety and stress up into a nutshell, we might say that it's whenever there's a discrepancy between what I want and wish for in my life and reality. Like I said, I'm not thinking of it in the clinical sense where anxiety, often we don't even know what is causing the stress and anxiety. But in our lives, a lot of times there's things that we deal with from day to day and from week to week and month to month that just cause us to worry a lot. And there's a sense in which some, maybe a little of, I don't like the word worry, but pressure, if you would, is a good thing. Helps us to make sure we get things done. If we get too much of the opposite extreme and we don't worry and care about anything, that's a whole nother issue. But I think many of us can relate with having too much stress and worry about the things of life. And Jesus spoke about this, especially in relating to the physical things. If you want to keep your finger in here in Philippians and turn back to Matthew chapter 6, some verses we know well. Matthew chapter 6, we'll start reading in verse 25. Jesus says that, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." There it is again. Take no thought. Don't worry. "What ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." A lot of things we could draw out of the passage here. But he's talking about being worried, being overly concerned about the physical things, our physical well-being, food, clothing. And certainly we need to take action in those areas of our life. Proverbs tells us to go to the ant, not be lazy. But at the end of the chapter, it says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What does that mean? That simply means that there's enough things to worry about and what I have to do today, even the things that I'm doing to prepare for the future. I have enough things to worry about today. I don't need to worry about the things that, especially the things that I really can't do much about today. Especially those things. And all the work that I'm not able to get done in a day, or whatever it may be. There's enough evil. There's enough stress. There's enough difficulty. There's enough trial in today that we shouldn't try to handle tomorrow's as well. And what are we supposed to do about it? We're supposed to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. If we go back to Philippians chapter 4, I'd like to look at what Paul tells us there we should do instead of being stressed and worried. In Philippians 4, back at our text, in verse 6, it says that in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With prayer and supplication. So prayer, as I looked at these words, prayer has the idea of worship. Worshiping God with thanksgiving. Standing in awe and in prayer before God and just realizing who God is. And doing it with a heart of thanksgiving. Supplication is making requests. So in the hard times of life, in the difficulty, in the stress, in the trials, in the busyness of life, making supplication, making requests to God. laying out to God our difficulty, the things that we find troublesome, the things that we find worrisome, laying them before God and making request. 1 Peter 5, 6 to 7 says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Can we learn, can I learn, to simply take the stresses and worries of life and give them to God? With thanksgiving. And I really think that it's thanksgiving, which is why my mind went here to this passage. I really think that it is thanksgiving that is the biggest key here. Obviously, prayer. Obviously, giving and asking and giving our struggles to God is a huge part of it. But thanksgiving, because that's something that can be, I guess prayer is too, but as we go throughout life, it's the way we think, it's our outlook, it's the lens that we look through life with. Thanksgiving. Do we have an attitude of thanksgiving? And if not, we can work towards developing one. Is it possible to be thankful when things are not going well? In my life, I'm tempted to say it's not. But is it possible? It certainly is. James 1 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Now that verse makes it sound as though we should be thankful for the trial. And I want to be there. That's where I want to be. But you know, even if it's hard to be thankful for the trial, we can look beyond the trial and see many things that we can be grateful for. There's so many things. And just yesterday, as I was preparing this message, I was struggling with just a little anxiousness. We have a house that's meets our needs well, but it's none too large. And so the upstairs is a bit full with just everyday living. And so a few years ago, I made myself a study in the basement. And I don't really care for basements. The mustiness in a basement has bothered me over the years, and it just seems that basements just give my respiratory system. But nonetheless, I put my study in the basement, and we did some things to the basement there that I thought would take care of any mold issues or keep things dry, and it does stay dry. But for some reason, just recently... Also before this, as our children got older and we needed a place for a schoolroom, there's no place upstairs, so what do? We made a place in the basement. Not really a finished out space, just kind of a rug on the floor and some lights, and we do school in the basement. And again, not my favorite place to put my children for so many hours, but it's what we have. Yesterday, I really realized that something is wrong. I don't know what. Maybe you can come to my house and tell me. But the last week, actually more than a week, it's just been getting worse. And when I spend time in the basement, I begin to really feel bad and begin coughing and notice the children having struggles with it, and our youngest having a lot of troubles with respiratory problems. And I was just sitting there in my basement saying, why? I do not have time to figure out what is going on in my basement. We took everything off the outside walls. We dry locked them. We did so much. There's no mold anywhere. There's plenty of dust. But is that all it is? I don't know. Why do I have to worry about this? And I found myself trying to study upstairs amidst commotion and well, you know how it is. And suddenly I was like, well, you know, I am so thankful for the house we have. A number of years ago, we had the opportunity to buy the house. And when I look at what has happened in real estate, I'm just so grateful I have a house. And I don't have to try to buy one today with the interest rates the way they are and all and everything that goes with that. I'm just so thankful that we have a place to live. I'm still concerned about what's going on in the basement, and I'm not sure what to do about it. But I want to have an attitude of thankfulness. The small things in life. Back to our text, verse 7. It says that if we give these things to God in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace that passeth all understanding. That can only come from God, right? In the trials of life and the difficulties of life, I think what that means, and I know I heard this talked about this week, at least in the evenings, Brother Luke Bennett's talking about people going through hard times, going through times of grief, and people looking on and saying, something's different. And that's because of that peace that passes all understanding that comes from God. It says, it will keep your heart and your mind. Now that word keep in the Greek is interesting because it's a military term. It is the word to use for a guard or a watch or like you would guard a city to keep an enemy from entering, a military guard. And I like that. If we are a thankful people, we will have that kind of a guard over our hearts and our minds. Our heart and our mind, what all does that include? It's our emotions, our will, our thinking. I'd just like to think a little bit now about how do we trade our anxiety, our worry, our trials, whatever's bothering us, for gratefulness, for thanksgiving. And there's a lot of places we could go, and I struggled for a long time to know whether we just, you know, go through a lot of passages in Scripture and bring out a lot of points. But I decided just to stay in this passage and bring out a few things that I see here. The first thing I see is that we need to bring our minds under the control of Christ. Bring our minds under the control of Christ. The next verse that we did not read, verse 8, says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We know the verse well in 2 Corinthians. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought. You see, we have a part to play in this. And you don't take something into captivity, whether it's an animal or whether it's the police taking someone into captivity. There's often a scuffle. There's often a little bit of a battle, a little bit of a fight. Taking our thoughts into captivity is not without a bit of effort, a bit of force at times. To check whether what we are thinking about is true. Because if we're not a grateful people, if you're like me, I tend to be more negative than positive. That's a confession. And we're thinking about life and we're thinking about how things are. We need to stop ourselves. I need to stop myself and say, is how I view this really the truth? Is this how it really is? So many times it's easy to exaggerate and make things worse than what they really are. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, verse 2. Secondly, is to give to the needs of others. Paul commends the Philippian church on their care for him in a very physical sense. Verse 9 and 10 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. So some of this is actually the context of the verses of the text that we were looking at. Is Paul commending the Philippians for their generosity toward him, and also encouraging them to rely on God for their needs, giving to others. And I'm sure, again, there's a lot we could say about the blessing that we receive when we give of ourselves to others, whether it's financially, whether it's of our time, however it may be. The joy that we and blessing we receive in giving makes us feel thankful. Taking note of the needs of others alone will help us feel thankful. Because there are so many that their trials, their difficulties are greater than our own. Number three, we need to learn contentment. Paul says in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Realizing that what I have is sufficient for me. What God has provided is enough. Contentment. And fourthly, and last, expect suffering and difficulty. You know, if I said in the beginning that the common thing in all the issues that cause us anxiety and stress, the common thing is that what we would like and what we would expect in life is not exactly the reality. And so it will help us a lot if we learn to expect what we don't want. If we learn to expect suffering and difficulty. Paul says, starting in verse 12, again, he says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Expect difficulty. and expect suffering. I didn't bring a lot of practicality to this, and so some of that is because I myself struggle so much in the area of being a thankful, grateful person. And so if you would teach me and the rest of us, I would be grateful for that. So if we have a mic, two mics, or a mic, if we could have a mic, and we'll give you all opportunity to share whatever is on, would be on your heart as we think about Thanksgiving, not only in just this week, but going throughout our lives and this year. Maybe you have an experience or a thought that you would like to share in relation to it. There, I think they're getting the mic ready. I am grateful for what God has given to me. Especially this morning, I'm grateful for my family. And so thankful for my wife and the help she has been to me. It's been a great blessing, and very grateful. Okay, there are two mics back there. Brother Raymond in the front here.
Well, there's a lot of things to be thankful for, but when I think back a lot in the past, why, I'm very thankful that my parents took me to church, showed me the way to go, and a dad that prayed a lot. I learned that when I was about 11 years old, that he was a praying man. But my parents not only pointed the way, they lived it. And the church environment that we were in, a lot of people didn't have assurance of salvation. My parents did, and I knew what it took to become a Christian when I, about 3 years later, when I was under conviction. And I'm very thankful for the body of Christ, even here, that we can worship and knit hearts together, we can build together, and we have good examples of family and brotherhood, bonding together, being accountable one to another, and building for eternity. This life is very short. When you start looking back, why, 20 years is pretty short. I'm very thankful. Thankful for my wife and the family that we could raise for the Lord.
Amen. Leonard.
Thank you for stimulating our thoughts in the area of Thanksgiving rather than anxiety. One of the ways that I can remain in a place of thankfulness, doesn't mean I always stay there, is that there when Jesus gave the command right before he ascended, go ye all into all the world, he said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. And so God is in control, not only of the world, but of my personal life. And thank you, Peter, for that stimulation on faith, because this is where faith comes. And so one of the things in that area that has blessed me is two words. That is, God allows and he disallows. So everything that comes into my life is either he's allowing, he's disallowing. So if he allowed it, he didn't disallow it, then he must amend it for my good. And if I can remain in that place, then I can be thankful. As the scripture says, in everything give thanks. So I want to continue to hold that concept and respond to that concept in every situation that God allows or he disallows in my life. Also wanted to mention an appreciation, a thankfulness to you youth for sharing this morning. I know that some of you that came up front probably would have rather not, and probably were pretty nervous. But as soon as it, you know, line up, the lines got full. I appreciated that. Thank you for sharing. That was tremendous encouragement. And thank you also in inviting the speakers into Bible school. It's a little bit trembling. I knew that Brother Benji coming, he's black and white. He doesn't beat around the bush. He believes what he believes really strong. And, of course, because of his zeal and passion for the Christian life, it could be a little hard for some people to accept what he has to say. Now, I didn't talk to all of you from our congregation here, but the sample group that I did talk to, I want to say thank you. Even though your toes got stepped on, and even though he said some really hard things, I felt a sense of, we need it. That was good. I like that kind of preaching. And so, I'm just overflowing with thankfulness that you could take some of those hard things that Benji said and not just throw them out, but say, here I am, God, speak to me. So thank you.
Brother James.
There's a children's song that I've thought of many times when I'm struggling with something. It says, I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong, and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. And so when I face anxieties, I cast them on the Lord and endeavor to do that. And instead of owning them myself and worrying about myself, I just cast that all on the Lord. It's my prayer. It's my desire. Another thing we say is do your best, give God the rest, and don't worry about the things we cannot change.
All right. There's someone, Clinton. I'm seeing little signals all over the place.
Yeah, well, the thing that I was pondering, I guess I'm looking at positive and negative. I talked about negative, and in my own experience, it works a whole lot better just to not dwell on those negatives. It says in verse 8, think on these things. You look at the list there. There's not a negative in that whole list. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise. That's all positive. I could look at some of the bumps in life and dwell on them, and it would be, poisoning. But we choose to look on what God has done in a positive way and be thankful. Think on these things. And the peace of God will be there.
Back there, is the mic back there somewhere? Yes, Jesse.
Yeah, I've always been challenged whenever I meet people with less. You would think the more we have, the more thankful we should be and the more giving we should be. I have a friend from the community that has very little, has a lot of troubles, and when we talk about his troubles, he always ends up saying, in all things rejoice, even when he didn't have a place to live. And that has always challenged me. And just to watch him, he'll give the person on the street the $20 that he should have put gas in his car with. And a few years ago, I landed in Phoenix, Arizona to pick up a vehicle. and had trouble making a connection. So I took the bus as far out of the city as I could go, got dropped off with the homeless people. And I was just challenged because there they were. They would have done anything they could do to help me, but obviously they didn't have a vehicle. But that has always been a challenge to me. We have so much. Why are we not more thankful? One thing that I've endeavored to do in my life with different accidents I had and things where I felt like the Lord took some of my things, I want to be more like Job. God gives and God takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yeah, there's just so many studies and statistics have shown that that the amount we have has nothing to do. And actually, yes, it probably does have something to do with it. It usually makes us less thankful. And that doesn't mean that we should try to be poor, but we just need to be more thankful for what we do have. Thank you. Others? Dean.
Making it practical, the memory work for this week will go a long ways in making you thankful if you meditate on it. Ephesians 2, verse 5 and 6, don't forget it. Another thing is we have a really rich treasure here with our hymn book. We have the many songs about what all Jesus is to us, and you know, songs about the blood, songs of his coming again, songs of his as his being our intercessor, his love for us, his light, his life and ministry, his fellowship, and songs for every occasion in that we can experience in life. If whatever the trial, whatever the temptation, whatever the suffering, whatever the difficulty that we're experiencing, there's a song for it, for the occasion. If you'll just learn to take advantage of this, I mean, this is not the only one. I think probably all of us have several different hymn books in our possessions. And if you learn to sing, it just doesn't seem like it leaves a whole lot of room for unthankfulness.
Yes, I would second that. Amos.
It's been good to be here this morning. I appreciated both messages. I'm thankful for the wife God has blessed me with and my children. And I'm also thankful that the peace of God is not dependent on our circumstances. It's not dependent on getting what I want. And but I want to learn. I want to grow in that area of being more thankful so that the peace of God can rule in my heart.
Amen. Daniel, and then down the row from there.
A few years ago, on a Monday morning, I answered the phone at work, and some of you may have already heard me say this story. If you did, bear with me. But I picked up the phone, did my normal greeting, and asked the customer how he's doing, and he said, "Great." And this wasn't just a, "Oh, I'm doing well." It was an excited, "Great." And I asked him a little bit, "Oh, what's so great about your day?" And he's like, "Today is my 70th birthday." And that took me even more by surprise. I'm like, not many people are excited about their 70th birthday. And so I inquired a little more, and he's like, "Well, 20 years ago, when I was 50 years old, I was diagnosed with cancer and was given 2 months to live. And God has given me these 20 years. So that kind of stuck with me ever since. This guy could have been complaining about the difficult life he had. I mean, he did have a battle with cancer. He could have been complaining about getting old and now being 70 years old. But instead, he was thankful. And I think that that made all the difference in his life.
I'm sure he didn't wait till his 70th birthday to start thinking that way.
I just want to say I'm thankful for my wife and children that have fallen after God, even many mistakes I've made. Also, I'm thankful for a government that allows a Bible school like we had this past week. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking along what lines of what Leonard said about our young people being willing to share this morning. And I just want to encourage you all that if you ever heard the saying that faith builds faith or expressing our faith builds our faith, just want to encourage all of you in that, even though it was hard maybe for some of you to share. God bless you for it. Also, I think you said this, Jesse, about learning contentment. It is something I think we need to learn, and as others shared, it's not so much on what we have, but our attitude toward what we have and our circumstances. So thank you, each one, for sharing.
Maybe some of you sisters have something.
Our children learned the new children's song that went with some scripture Jesse used this morning. And so Jasmine and I are going to try to sing it together.
Consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, they spin not, and yet how fair they grow. And how close the lilies, will he not care for you?
Thank you. They are so carefree, aren't they? Yes.
I'm very thankful for a church that offers Bible school. I'm always very happy and very blessed with how I am encouraged after Bible school. When I hear and see my children making steps forward, it just strengthens my faith, and spiritually I move ahead, and I'm so thankful that they are way beyond where I am in some of those ways. So thanks for all those who have put effort into this Bible school, from the way little things behind the scenes to the big important ones.
Thank you. Was there someone else? Oh, yes.
I appreciated the message this morning. This year, I've been on a messaging chat with a number of ladies, and our goal is to find 1,000 things that we're thankful for this year. So it's helped me this year to be mindful of the things in life, whether they're small or big, just to have a heart of gratitude throughout life. And when I think of Thanksgiving, this song comes to mind. I'm just going to read it. The first two verses are verses of thanksgiving for the things that are easy to be thankful for. And then the last three verses, especially the third verse, is a verse of thanking God for the hard things in life. I'm just going to read it. My God, I thank thee who has made the earth so bright, so full of splendor and of joy, beauty and light. So many glorious things are here, noble and right. I thank thee, too, that thou hast made joy to abound, so many gentle thoughts and deeds circling us round, that in the darkest spot of earth some love is found. I thank thee more that all our joy is touched with pain, that shadows fall on brightest hours, that thorns remain, so that earth's bliss may be our guide and not our chain. I thank thee, Lord, that thou hast kept the best in store. We have enough, yet not too much, to long for more. A yearning for a deeper peace not known before. I thank thee, Lord, that here our souls, though amply blessed, can never find, although they seek a perfect rest. Nor ever shall, until they lean on Jesus' breast. Something I want to grow in is thanking God for the hard things in life and finding the blessing in that.
so that earth's bliss may be our guide and not our chain. That always stands out to me. Brother Lamar.
Yeah, I've been very blessed. There's something beautiful about sitting here listening to our brothers and sisters share things that are going on in their lives. That is, I don't know, that's a powerful part of our Christian experience, is sharing testimonies and letting that challenge us. I was just blessed this week having young people in our home from three different households and watching them, spending time together with them, sharing and having them share with us. Just a heart after God that they had. And I just found this a real beautiful week. The respect, I just was really blessed. And so that was a rewarding week for us. And then just being able to, my wife pouring out, cooking meals, and our children helping, and that was a blessing too for my wife. And then I guess I'm just really thankful for my family, my wife, just seeing how God tempers my life with my wife and my family, the blessing that they are, and how much I needed my wife in my life to help shape and mold my life for God. Been a tremendous blessing for me in my journey in the last 26 years, almost 26 years. The other thing that has been really sticking out to me recently is how God orchestrates things that happen in our lives to fulfill His will in our lives. Whatever circumstances come our way, whether they're tough or whether it's God provides and guides His ways and His will in our lives simply by so much by circumstances. Are we kicking against the circumstances that come our way, whether it's good or challenging? God's using circumstances to shape and mold our character and to fulfill His will in our lives. If doors close or doors open, God's hand is in it. Let's not chafe against the will of God, but be thankful for each mile of the way that He leads us. So I'm just thankful for that.
Amen. Is there more over here?
Yes.
Years ago, someone shared with me, if you can't see the bright side of life, polish the dark side. And that has always stuck with me.
Thank you. Brian.
It's been a real blessing just to hear the testimonies of all of these folks sharing. And I thought, I couldn't help but think, you know, probably we're not really that much different in this room in a lot of ways. And I thought of something that was shared this week, that do we let life happen to us? In the sense that, you know, all of us could probably find all kinds of things to complain about, all kinds of things to be critical about. Life goes on, and we all have situations, and there's always things. But how do we look at them? Do we look at them, well, life happened to me today, I had a hard day, or God is in control, and God set my life up today for me. And I receive whatever I get today from the hand of God. And so to look at life from that perspective of blessing, to look at life from the perspective that my life is in the hand of God, and God, whatever you have for me today, no matter what it looks like, I will be blessed today being in your care. And that's a little bit what I hear this morning. And so my prayer is that I can take on that attitude more, not be critical. And I am also very thankful for my children, and I'm thankful for my wife this morning, and I'm thankful for you all this morning, and it is a real blessing to be among you all.
Thank you. Very good. Well, I am thankful for you all, and very thankful to hear you all share like this, and it helps me because I am endeavoring to exercise myself in being thankful, and I understand that if we make conscious choice, actually take time to stop and think and make the choice to stop and think of some things that you're thankful for, and you exercise and keep doing that, eventually it will become habit and subconscious, and you can actually change the way you think rather than my tendency where I just tend to think on the negative side of things without really trying. It happens. But working on that, and it's a blessing to hear you all do that at the spur of the moment, whether it was something you're thankful for or just thinking about Thanksgiving and how we can be a more grateful people. Thank you very much. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts. We want to thank you and praise you. We thank you for the good things in life that you've given to us, the harvest, the plenty. We live in a land of plenty. We thank you for government that allows us to worship. We thank you for family, parents that care for us, siblings, our spouses, our children. Lord, we are a blessed people. We thank you for church family. But Lord, we also thank you for those difficulties in life, those thorns, those things that teach us. Lord, help us to learn to see them as blessings. And Lord, that you would help me and each one of us to stop in the busyness of life, the stress, the worries of life, and reshape our thinking towards you and realizing that you care for us just like you care for us more than the sparrows, than the lilies of the field. You take care of us. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.